Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nuggets trail in a series.
Ooh, like an old hat, boys.
Been a while. Haven't put it on in a while. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge.
Whoa.
Nuggets fall in game one, 106-99. They get outbeat in the clutch. A tie game in the clutch and they lose?
I mean, listen, man. Things happen.
Things happen in the playoffs. So the Nuggets will have to play from behind in this one. Lots to talk about. There is no shortage of storylines from this one. Fascinating game. A great game with a finish that we did not enjoy. But we are in the Losers Lounge, and not just that, the Toyota Losers Lounge, driven by your Front Range Toyota stores. Toyota, the official vehicle of the of DNVR. I feel like I got ran over by a 4Runner.
Yeah. But the nice thing is
RAV4. It was smaller.
But it's like the operator of that vehicle. Totally fine. Very safe vehicle.
That's true. Everybody's safe. Bringing it all down, I got Harrison Wynn.
Man, uncharted territory for this Nuggets team.
Yep.
First time they've trailed in a series in the last couple of years. First time they've lost a game one.
Second time they've even lost a home game, you know, in the playoffs. Last year, obviously, only in the finals to the Miami Heat. D-Lion Co. here.
That's right, guys. Listen, in every life, a little rain must fall. And if you're already saying the Nuggets are cooked, like, you got to look in the mirror. You got to get a little perspective in your life.
When people say that, it means if I was there, I would be done.
Yeah,
that's like, what it means.
Like, it's insane.
Not they would be, but
it's
if
insane.
I were Jokic, I would be done.
It's so bad.
I'd totally be done. Then rounding out the show, Superstar Dev.
First off, that was a hell of a game. It really was. And if you're one of those people that think that the sky's falling and things are all bad, I don't know if this is the Losers Lounge for you. I don't believe that.
To start out, I will say hat tip to the Wolves. That was a heck of a game.
Yeah, man.
And they were a mature team in that one. I mean, that's the story really with them this whole year, is that they have grown into a mature team, and it took some mature things from them in this one, including one Anthony Edwards. Let's do a fast breakdown really quickly. Fouls on Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray immediately. Very first two possessions, you get fouls on those guys. 9-0 start for the Timberwolves, and then an 18-4 start. Anthony Edwards was on fire, hit a couple threes, had an and-one, had some jumpers going, and things were looking pretty terrible. Reggie checks into the game, and the Nuggets storm back. So 18-4, they've had bad starts all through the playoffs. Every game but one in the playoffs so far has been a bad start. This was the worst of them all, though. This was by far the worst start. Reggie came in and gave him such a boost, though. It was 5 points, but he made some big-time plays. Got a steal at half court. Just did some things, and it injected life into that ball arena. Ball arena reports quiet early on. Reggie helped bring it back.
I actually don't blame him.
And it was just an incredible quarter of basketball where the Nuggets actually took the lead at the end of the break, 25-23. No Peyton Watson to start the second. Instead, Justin Holiday. We'll talk about why here in a little bit. Aaron Gordon started trying to get physical with Karl Anthony Towns, got a steal, but then got a foul. P-Watt did check in to play alongside Jokic later on. Played 5 minutes in this one, or 5 or 6 minutes. And then Murray finishes the half scoreless. Who had that on their bingo card? Probably no one, because it's never happened in a playoff game before. 0 points for Jamal Murray in the first half. But the Nuggets were up 44-40. Third quarter, things fall apart. Mike Conley gets going. Jamal Murray hit some shots, but Mike Conley hit even more shots. The defense really fell apart from Denver in that second half, or in the third quarter, and the Wolves get a bunch of points. They end up scoring 33 in both the third and the fourth quarter, and they took the lead going into the fourth, 73-71, onto the fourth quarter. Mike Conley hit a huge shot in the corner, man. Do you guys remember that? Good sequence from Denver. Mike Conley gets it in the corner as a little bit of a desperation and drains a three. Murray responds with an and one. It was the fifth foul on Cat. By the way, Murray did this one to Cat.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting because Anthony Edwards got the technical foul for looking toughly. And Jamal Murray did this one. No technical foul. Ant got into his bag, though, in that fourth quarter. Started making some shots. Big Christian Brown three to tie the game. Remember, he was in the corner?
Yep.
Those are such big shots when he's out there. And then this is where it falls apart. So Naz Reid comes in because Karl Anthony Towns is out. He was having an atrocious game. And then he banked in a three-pointer.
Yeah.
Banked it in.
Banked in a three-pointer. Got an and put-back dunk and then an and one all in a row. Then he hit another three. All in a row, man. It's why they brought him in because Karl Anthony Towns had foul trouble, and he comes in and immediately is the fourth quarter closer for the Timberwolves. Jokic got an and-one on Gobert, cut it to three with 3.5 minutes to go, so the Denver's still in this one. But Jokic, Rudy Gobert got him today. The play that really changed things and I thought made it so Denver was in a hole too big for them to crawl out of. Jokic gets the floater. Aaron Gordon goes for the lob. Gobert plays the cat and mouse game perfectly and outfoxes him. Looks like he's going to show, so he goes to the pass and then recovers all the way back and breaks it up. I thought that was the play of the game. Aaron Ant goes the other way, gets fouled, and the Wolves go up 7. And then Gobert, if you thought there was like the tiniest sliver of hope, Gobert gets a foul line jumper and banks it in.
Bank was open today.
Bank was open for the Timberwolves in that fourth quarter. But hey, to be honest with you, despite those lucky plays from the Timberwolves, I thought the Wolves actually deserved this game.
Yeah, they outplayed them.
And the basketball gods reward them with a couple of bank shots in the clutch. What's your big takeaway, Dev? Presented by Red Hawk Roofing. Big takeaway.
My big takeaway is really, this is not a game that I would panic on. And while I don't feel nervous, that's not to say that you can't be frustrated by what you've seen. This was an uncharacteristic type game from the Nuggets. Not oftentimes does the starters outplayed by the opposing team. Not oftentimes is Jamal Murray one of the worst players on the court right there and just didn't have anything to go to. I felt like this was a game, you talk about the cat and mouse, where Jokic just looked indecisive at times and not aggressive, and that played into the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I think that this is a game where Denver did not execute great down the stretch, and I think that they're going to have that change looking forward. So Denver has to get back to playing Denver basketball. We haven't seen it in a while, so maybe this was the wake-up call that they needed.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope it's the wake-up call they need.
I mean, I don't think they need a wake-up call, but I think that they need Jamal Murray to show up. Like, they can't function without their second-best player being this version of himself. That performance in the first half was just tragic, and then he made up for it in a lot of ways in the second half. But, like, you can't have this machine going where a guy that you just always count on, suddenly you're not. It's a source of insecurity as opposed to security. Also, there's nothing more adorable than the Wolves fans who have won one game in a second series that are so overconfident. I love this. Please keep bringing it. Please keep bringing it. We want this. It is quite adorable, I have to say.
I mean, I appreciate the positive outlook from these guys, but I'm nervous about the Nuggets after this game. Absolutely. Because I don't think the Nuggets win this series if Jamal Murray looks like this in the next five games.
We don't.
Jamal Murray had a great second half, 17 points. That's where he scored all his points tonight. He went scoreless in the first half and was a minus 22 in this game. I know he's not 100%. I know he's hobbled. But the identity of the Nuggets is the Nikola Jokic-Jamal Murray two-man game. For Denver to be at its best, those two need to be at their best. And I don't know if Jamal Murray's going to wake up because he's clearly hurt. He's clearly not 100%. He clearly doesn't have the same burst that he usually does. And that, I think, is a problem for the Nuggets. Like I said, I don't know if they can win this series if Jamal Murray is going to give the Nuggets this throughout the remainder of it. And that's pretty terrifying, I think, from a Nuggets perspective. So I'm with you guys. It's one game.
It is one game.
It's not time to panic, absolutely. But I'm not like confident that Jamal Murray can give like the Nuggets his peak level of performance because he's hurt. He's clearly hurt. He didn't practice a lot this week. He's very hampered. He's not 100%. And with the amount of responsibility that Denver places on him, he's either got to go to a totally different gear and just power through this injury, or the Nuggets have to change their identity on offense a little bit to recenter more things around Nikola Jokic.
I mean, there's no question that we talked about if Jokic's not the best player in the series, they're not going to win. If Murray is not a top three player in the series, they're not going to win. Neither of those things were true tonight. I've got a bunch of big takeaways. I want to get to what you're talking about here because I do think that the number one thing this game does is it changes the texture. Denver has not been challenged really in a year and a half. They haven't. And that's why when people say, like, oh, it was the closest sweep of the Lakers ever, the Lakers are right there, I go, Denver won all four games. So, like, what do they look like? Did they ever have to hit the top gear? Did they ever have to dig deep into their soul? This one, I'm not saying they have to go the deepest part of their soul just yet. It's just one game. Yep. But this one definitely was, in flashing lights, you're probably going to have to go there in this series. And I'm excited to see what Denver has, honestly. I'm excited to see. Because my big takeaway is more, Jamal Murray is six games into the playoffs. He has not had a good game. He has two game winners.
Right.
He has good quarters. You can even argue that the third quarter in this one, although I thought his defense was especially atrocious in it, so I won't even call it a good quarter. But he has only played good for very, very tiny stints, never for games. And where I think it manifests itself the most, you know what quarter he was good at in the first half, or what first quarter he was good at, was game five.
Exactly.
The one quarter they won. Tonight, Denver got beat in the clutch. Denver, to start games and to end games, that's who you are. The game is flow in between that. You got staggered lineups. You're just playing flow. You have strategies. You make adjustments. But the start of the game and the finish of the game is who you are. Who Denver is the Murray Jokic two-man game.
Yep.
When you say that he hasn't looked good yet, that's what it means. They start the game saying, here's how we get into our looks, and they're starting every game terribly. And then you close a game like tonight, you go, okay, this is Denver's bread and butter. You get to that action, and they close terribly. So I'm with you in that, look, I don't think it's over. I think there's all this stuff. But that, to me, is not – Denver, I think, has actually been good in this playoffs in so many of the, like, miscellaneous categories. But the main category has not yet fired, and that's the Jokic-Murray two-man game, and we are six games into it, and we've only gotten little tastes of it. We haven't gotten the main course yet, and at some point you have to worry if it's actually coming.
This version of Jamal Murray, you can beat the Lakers in five games with.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves are not the Lakers. They're well-coached. They have way more talent. They have a better star player, a better number one option who can take over games in a way that, you know, as good as LeBron James is or Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards can take over a game in a different way. They're deeper. They're just a better overall team. And they need a better version of Jamal Murray. They just do.
There's no question about it. Definitely a better version of him. But again, this is the gut check part of it. So Denver, you know, this is the same core, especially when you talk about Michael Malone, Jokic, Porter, Murray. That's the core that came back from 2-3-1 deficits. So they have this in their DNA of being a team that is, you know, obviously very good at this. So I'm excited to kind of get into that and kind of see that from them. But it will feel like the first time we see that, it's going to be the first time we saw it this year. And that's what's kind of exciting and nerve-wracking about it.
I mean, that's just it, is that, like, people act like this is the Nuggets have never been here before. I mean, it's
not with this current group,
but we've gotten so soft so quickly. Like, it's just the Nuggets have faced such adversity in the history of the steps, and they lost the first game to the Timberwolves, and they had the worst first quarter I've seen them play that you could possibly play. They had 4 points with half the quarter over. They fought back, and they faltered down the line. Jamal Murray, just not great today. If we get two halves from Jamal Murray like we got from the second half,
and it's encouraging that the second half was the good one, because you would think you would wear down.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's you love to see. I mean, you're impressed by Anthony Edwards. You're impressed by what a lot of the Wolves did. Naz Reid was good, but I mean, like, you know, he got the dunk back, but he got a bank in. Like, there's stuff you look at, you're like, man, all right, tip your hat, good game. But you're not like, well, that's going to happen every time. The Nuggets have no answer for Nasri's banking in three-pointers. I just look at this game as, okay, all right, like, let's okay, let's go. Dig in. Let's go. I know what you have. I've seen it over and over and over.
But have you seen it this playoffs, though? That's the thing.
But this playoffs is, what is this playoffs?
It's part team. Of
a, but it's a long, I've seen it this season. I've seen it this
have
season.
Have you seen it with Jamal Murray like this, though?
We haven't seen it since the injury is kind of what you're getting at. We saw it right after the All-Star break, but since he missed those 9 games, I would agree with
that. That's
Harrison,
why I'm concerned, because like I've been telling myself the Nuggets have this extra gear. They have another gear they can get to. And we saw it, you know, for at times in the second half. We saw the bench play great tonight, but like now I'm questioning that. I'm questioning if the Nuggets really do have another gear with Jamal Murray.
Which
like
I think is fair, because that's the question now that the Nuggets have to answer in game 2, and you're excited to see it. The one thing I will say, though, to give Murray some credit here, because I don't think it's all on him. Yo played a horrible game tonight. He, too, is going to have to adjust his game.
Sure. Yeah.
But one of the things is, while Murray has not played well, have we seen it from the Nuggets? Yes. But we've seen it in 2 5-minute bursts. Game 2 and Game 5. Like, that's not a lot. I'm not trying to say you can count because we've seen it there, but Denver only needed it twice.
Yep.
And they had it both times. Tonight, they did not have it. They're going to have to go to the drawing board and probably realize, I think Yoke's going to have to realize he's going to have to become, change, alter his game now with the state that Murray's in. And Murray is probably going to have to figure out if he has more or not, because tonight I feel like it was a bit more of a feel out. You know, he didn't hit the afterburners till after halftime.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fill out, and he didn't hit those burners. But also, when you look at this game, like, in its entirety, the Timberwolves, I feel like, played a really good game.
They did.
Great down the stretch. Their star player went off. Their starters played, like, particularly well. They knew what their game plan was, and they went into it and executed. And then on the flip side, Denver had Jokic play not a great game. Jamal Murray played an atrocious game on both ends of the floor. The bench was very bad. They did not execute late.
The bench was great. Nuggets bench was great. Going.
And plus, and also, digits. They only lost by 7.
Yeah.
Like that, they played a great game, and they played a what would you even rate the Nuggets in that? And they lose by 7, and they had so many times that they could have won that game. So I just feel like Denver can get to that next level. And even if they do get to that next level, say that it's their level that they typically play in, they win this game by 25-30. So I just feel like you just have to just take this game for what it was. They stole game 1.
Well, I will say the Timberwolves now have played 5 good games in the playoffs. They're 5-for-5.
This isn't the Lakers, man.
And, well, not even is it not the Lakers. I want to give them credit. If Denver had played only good games, we would be talking about, yeah, they're going to play good again in the next game. So like, I give the Wolves right now that they are 5-for-5 on good games. And going into game 6, I would expect them to be equally as good as they were in game 1, because they have found a level of consistency in it.
Yep.
It's now up to Denver to match and surpass that, which we believe they're capable of. But to Wynn's point, there are question marks. Let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into some of the other guys, including Jokic and what we saw from him and how he might have to alter his game in game 2.
Shout out Toyota. We're here in the Toyota Losers Lounge. You guys are chatting up a storm in the Toyota chat right now.
It's the Wolves chatters, Tiff, if you want to.
Oh, it's Tiff.
Your Front Range Toyota stores. Excited to begin our new partnership with DNVR. Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR. Toyota, 17 different models available with all-wheel drive.
Going to be a fast block in the comments today, so be
drive,
careful.
Like the Epic 4Runner. They also offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from in the Toyota fleet, like the Tundra, iForce, the Max Hybrid Truck, so many more as well. Make sure to visit your Front Range Toyota stores at a location near you. AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe in Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Toyota is a proud partner of the Denver Nuggets and the official vehicle of DNVR, might I add as well. Also, shout out to Bet365. A Bet365, never ordinary. Did we do okay on our bets tonight, Dev, or what was up?
We did okay on our bets.
We did okay. Still did okay. We got an awesome 6-week giveaway going on with Bet365 each week. If you participate, you're eligible to win bigger and bigger prizes. If you participated each week, you're eligible to win the grand prize. You can be on a DNVR podcast. You can go to a Avalanche practice, Broncos training camp with Eric Lacroix or Todd Davis. How cool would that be? You got to play every week, got to participate every week. You do also have to deposit a minimum of $10. Snag a screenshot of that. Send it to promo at thednvr.com. You can go to thednvr.com/bet365 for more information. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Back here, segment two, DNVR Nuggets podcast. All right, let's talk real quickly now about Jokic. Seven turnovers. These are the stats that mean the most to me. Seven turnovers and 11 of 25 shooting. He did have 32, 8, 9 with three steals.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff in there. And really won the Jokic minutes outside of that starting group, which I don't think was on him necessarily. But seven turnovers is absolutely on him. 11 of 25 absolutely demonstrates, you know, that he struggled. And the biggest play of the game to me was that Gobert got it. Like, Jokic always gets guys. Gobert got him tonight in the clutch. Dev, what did you see from him? What did you think about his game tonight?
I seen a guy that was kind of just trying to pick and choose, like, when he would be aggressive. I think, like, field goal attempt-wise, it was an aggressive game for him. But if you were watching it, it was the type of shots that he was taking, the type of turnovers that he was making. Like, that play that sticks out is when Gobert, like, baited him, and that's, a shot that Jokic usually, floats it over or just knocks down the mid-range. He missed a couple of bunnies that he typically makes, and I think that changes the outcome of how the Timberwolves are going to guard you or how aggressive you're going to be. I expect Jokic to come out in this next game and really just try to go into takeover mode where he's just scoring. I do think that it threw him off a bit that the Timberwolves did start throwing a couple of double teams at him in ways that they hadn't before. It's usually a lot of one-on-one coverage. And they have three bigs that you can throw at him at different times, and they used all three bigs at him at different times. He always is going to reign supreme in those situations. So I do expect a big bounce-back game. This was just not the one for him, and the turnovers is what, you know, brought it down.
They struggle to score, you know, when you score and you get back, or if you just don't turn it over and give them transition. Tonight, Denver did that, especially to start the game. It was a lot of just playing in transition.
Weird stuff, man.
I mean, the Nuggets got mundered tonight.
Yeah. They did get mundered. Points.
Yeah. Yeah, they got mundered. I mean, Jokic did not have his best game. He still had massive numbers. It's like the ultimate Jokic.
26 points off of turnovers, by the way.
Yeah.
For the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I mean, I would describe the Nuggets' effort, as we've done so many times this postseason, as sloppy, you know, and Jokic not excluded from that. Bad shots, bad three-point attempts. Little tough when you don't have your running mates, so it's a little bit more on you. But, you know, I think everybody wants to get really, like, heavy on what we fucked up on, what the Nuggets fucked up on. To me, I just look at it, I'm like, can Jokic be better? Yes.
But what does that mean?
More efficient, fewer turnovers, less sloppy.
So he had 25 shots tonight. You feel like it's just he was 11 of 25, 16 of 25. That's the next game. It's 16 of 25.
Better. I mean, we've seen Jokic be 24 of 25. I mean, like, Jokic can do whatever he wants, really, and if he just turns up the intensity early on and kind of goes at it, it just wasn't a very inspiring effort from really anybody. There were gritty moments. The Nuggets fought. They came back from that hole at the beginning. I mean, the beginning of this game was just like, oh my god, like, what are we doing, fellas? Like, come on, wake up here. They just didn't show up till very late. They closed the gap, they took the lead, and then they took their foot off the gas again. And, you know, obviously credit to the Wolves. I mean, I'm not trying to discredit what the Wolves did out there. I just know that with the Denver Nuggets, it's about the Nuggets. It's not ever about what the other team is doing. The Nuggets have what it takes to get over on anybody. We know that. We've seen it. And they just didn't bring it today. They didn't bring it today, but obviously credit to the Wolves. Like, they did bring it. Anthony Edwards was great today. So, you know, that's what it is.
Jokic shot 2-9 from three.
That's the part there. That's
nine
kind of what I was getting at.
The most he shot against the Lakers was 5.
Yeah.
Across 5 games. That's the shot clearly Minnesota wants him to take. And he took it. They posted up Nikola Jokic a lot in the first half of this game. And he missed a lot of easy shots. But it was single coverage the whole time. Rudy Gobert, Towns, no matter who was on him, it was single coverage every time. If I'm the Nuggets, like, look, I know their identity is the Murray-Jokic two-man game. I know their bread and butter is getting those two in pick and rolls, getting that DHO going. But for me, if Jamal Murray is going to be this hampered, I feel like their identity has to shift to just Jokic in the post full time. They went away from that, I felt like, a little bit in the second half. Part of that was obviously Jamal Murray getting going. But that can create so many problems for the defense. And look, the Nuggets shot 42% from three. This was a good three-point shooting game from Denver. Their best three-point shooting game in the playoffs so far, and they only scored 99 points. I think the recipe for the Nuggets in game two has to be a heavy diet of Jokic in the post, one-on-one against Rudy Gobert. I still feel really good about that matchup. And then adjust from there. Hit three-point shooters, get Jamal Murray going from there. But like that, to me, has to be where Denver starts. Like they started game one, they got to start there in game two and stick there.
Yep. It's hard to give a steady diet, though, of the post. And I think that, you know, we know this a lot. When you go up against good rim protection, Jok steps out and he tries to make some threes. I think nine is a little excessive, but I do think Jok needs to take and make threes in this series. It's just going to be a part of it. But to me, the Jokic piece of this, Jok will not break that what he believes to be the right thing. He just won't do it. You know, and sometimes we'll call that passive, we'll call it this or that. The right thing to do is to attack them with pick and roll. But if Murray's not up for it, and this is why the question about Jamal and how do they respond, because I believe Jamal Murray will figure something out. I just believe in him. I believe he will. But I don't think you have long to figure that out. Early in that game, Jok has to enter it with the mind frame of, if it's not working early, the Murray-Jokic two-man game, then I have to treat this like a man alone. Not saying he has to completely ignore him, but he has to be, you can't just go into this series and say, we're going to lose two games at home while I see if Murray has it again. You have to go into game two with the mind frame of, okay, I've got to generate offense and collapse the defense in ways that are not necessarily the two-man game, and I have to find ways to do it. I don't know if that's more post-ups, honestly, because I do think that they have the personnel to make the post-ups hard as a steady diet. I think that's a big part of the puzzle, but I think he's going to have to catch on the move a little bit more. He's going to have to be more aggressive,
right.
You know,
right.
trying to run some different actions. So to me, a lot of it does go there.
I think if it's 60-40 Jokic-Murray normally, it's got to go like 80-20 Jokic-Murray the rest of this series.
And then the other big question for the series is, I'm not sure Denver has anybody that can guard Anthony Edwards, and that's a concern. Because, look, he was incredible tonight, 17 to 29, and some of those shots were tough. Guess what? He's a tough shot maker, yep. And he is in an absolute tough shot-making heater right now, even by his own standards. So 43 points tonight. This is one thing, Dev, it feels like a hot take. Christian Brown was doing a good job on him in the fourth. I honestly wondered on the watch-along if Denver should close with him instead of KCP. They, of course, didn't. I think it was the right call because you need to go to the team that just won a title. You need to give them a chance. But I think I've seen enough now to say KCP, for as good as he is, that's not his matchup.
For sure, but I also think that you should use KCP on him to just run him around early on. So I think that that is the look. You're going to have them as the starters, so he's going to get his first crack at it. And also I think that you just need to wear him down. KCP gets through a lot of screens. It wears them down, the whole Minnesota team. But then after that, you do need to give different looks. I wish that Denver would have threw more double teams his way just to let him know that they're coming so that he can switch up his like rhythm, his cadence, and like seeing what defense is, you know, Denver's trying to give him. I don't feel like at any time did he like he's seen something that he had not been familiar with or that kind of slowed him down. There's nobody that can stop him. But you want to slow him down. You want to give him different looks. And he was looking comfortable the entire time. Yeah. When Christian Brown got out there, that did slow him down a bit because it was something new for him.
Yeah.
He has not seen Christian Brown's defense. It's speed plus his strength. It's, you know, having a body on you at the entire time. If you get a switch, it's a switch on a guy like KCP. It's a guy like Jamal Murray that gives you those different type of looks, but at least it's throwing off that cadence. So I think that Christian Brown is something that they are going to go to, and we got to see him get extended minutes because of the effort on Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, I just imagine them having to just change a lot of things up a lot. You know, just throw a lot of different looks, like get Peyton Watson on him. But the thing is that the way that he attacks is that it's so much about the physicality. He just, like, puts his shoulder into KCP's chest, knocks him back, then he has space. He can't do that as well with Aaron Gordon.
But Aaron Gordon, Christian, he was Brown. Blowing
by. But that, I'm saying, but so then, you know, then the second part of that comes in with, and so it's difficult. I mean, I imagine there's some amount of doubling that has to happen. I imagine you just have to keep him guessing as to what's coming next. But, you know, this is what it is to go up against an elite player. Like, this is what I'm sure a lot of other teams feel like when they go up against Jokic. Like, what do you do up against this guy? And the answer that we've seen has just been like, switch it up, change it around. Like, don't give him something where you can just get comfortable all the time. But, I mean, he was great today.
But is it a thing, Wind? Like, this is another thing we haven't really seen in the, you know, championship era, the golden era. We have not seen them have to go away from their starting lineup to close. Their closing lineup is their closing lineup. Do you think it's possible that they might have to do that just for matchup purposes?
I'm going to guess that's not what happens. But they've got to change stuff up throughout the game, absolutely. We knew this coming into the series. We knew the Nuggets don't have a good matchup for Anthony Edwards. There are very few of those in the NBA. There are very few good matchups for Edwards.
They're superstars that are good matchups for him.
But we knew the Nuggets have gotten killed by Edwards this season, last season even. We knew that was a tough matchup. We knew that was something that like could tip one way or another. Yeah, KCP struggled, obviously. He doesn't have the strength or the size to really bother Edwards. I think Aaron Gordon might turn out by the end of the series as the best option to guard him, especially in the clutch, especially in the last 5 minutes of a close game.
Aaron Gordon?
I think Aaron Gordon's going to become the best option on him.
He looked real tired to me tonight.
I don't know. I thought he had some decent possessions on him, for sure. But this is something the Nuggets knew could be the case coming into this series. And so I'm sure Michael Malone has a couple counters that he's already thought about, just because this was obviously a problem that could potentially arise here.
Christian, I mean, it does present its own problems. You know, you take any of Denver's pieces out, obviously your shooting becomes a premium, and you're already talking about a Wolves team that did a great job on Denver in the clutch defensively. So what happens if Christian ends up playing those minutes? But at the same time, I do think Denver's going to have to solve that equation, because Ant was spectacular tonight.
Yep.
But it also looked easy. And some of them were tough shots, but I'm saying, like, we've seen Yoke go against a guy who can't guard him, and he hits a lot of tough shots. And you're like, yeah, but those were easy for him because those are the shots he wants, and he just knows you're not going to block it, so it's easy. I think Ant had a similar night tonight. You go back and watch the highlight reel, you go, my God, he was on fire. But he kind of knew that he had the space he needed, so he was shooting in some way practice shots, you know, and got in his bag. So you got to put something out there to disrupt him, and that's going to be a major storyline. I think Christian Brown is going to be called upon a lot in this series.
He will. And I think another aspect of his, like Dev hit on, you got to do a better job of just keeping the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
And when he does catch it, throw some quick doubles in there, throw some, you know, unorthodox defense just to get the ball out of his hands, just to make him think a little bit.
Yeah, it's got to be by committee.
Because he was so comfortable tonight.
It has to be by committee. Because when you think about this team, it was really just the Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid, Anthony Edwards show. Make somebody else beat you. Make McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander, those other guys hit shots. If you send that double team, I want to make Rudy Gobert a scorer. I think you'll be okay with those type of things. So, like, there has to be shifts in who's going to beat you, because if it's Anthony Edwards, who has, you know, as gifted of a scorer as he is, he looked comfortable the whole time. You better make him look uncomfortable, or you're going to have these type of nights every single time.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, Peyton Watson did not play very much in this game. 6 minutes, was it? Maybe a little bit less than that. Yeah, 6 minutes. So that was one decision that has already been made that might carry forward, but we'll ask what other decisions we kind of see the Nuggets making on the other side.
Yo, shout out to Red Hawk Roofing. We just were at the DNVR Scramble the other day up at City Park, the golf tournament we have. First one of the summer. Red Hawk Roofing had like three foursomes come through.
It's true.
All in Red Hawk Roofing polos. Those guys were out in full force.
One guy was in a Pikachu.
Oh, yeah, him.
No, it was an Oxwaddle.
A what?
Oxiadol. I don't know how to pronounce the word. It's a Mexican. It's Mexican.
It looked
word.
Like a Pikachu. And
it's like, no, one of those like salamanders with like a bunch of.
That was not a Pokemon.
Axolotl. You were so thrown off when I said Oxolotl.
I thought you were thinking of Pokemon.
It's not a Pokemon.
No, Axolotl.
It's a real
That's
animal.
That's a real animal,
yes,
he was?
Yes.
Anyway, that guy had a rough pitching wedge on the par 312. He did.
Just burn him.
Yeah.
Just burn
him. But other guys at Red Hawk Roofing, some decent golfers there.
Yeah.
Those guys are such those homies, guys. Man. They're always supporting DNVR. So if you need help with your roof, home or business, hit these guys up. Decades of experience, Colorado's best estimators and contractors, free no obligation roof and property inspections. They're such diehard Nuggets fans that they actually went to game 4 of the Lakers series in LA.
I know.
That's how big Nuggets supporters they are. So give them a call if you're looking for a new roof over your home or business. Be sure to check out Red Hawk Roofing. RedHawkRoofing.com. Tell them DNVR sent you. Also, shout out to Miller Lite. They were the sponsor on the watch along tonight. They're the official light beer DNVR.
They might be a sponsor of my Saturday night, to be honest with you.
It's true. I just got a call in. They brought in the sponsorship for
the post game.
Yeah, we're getting real sponsorship hours tonight.
Miller Lite, they keep it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories as well. It's the beer that strips away everything and holds on to what matters most. Light beer that tastes like light beer, less filling, only 96 calories. The original light beer since 1975. Miller Lite tastes great, has less of the stuff you don't want in beer. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/DNVR, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Oh, we have a vote from the studio? All right, live from the... right there, we have Brendan.
Good. I'm not sure if I can hear you there, so go ahead and give me another shot if you can.
I said hi, vote.
Hey, guys, I heard that. How the heck are you? We're not struggling. A great mood here in Ball Arena. I'm sure it's not awesome in the bar either.
Give us your quick takeaway, vote.
My quick takeaway is, first of all, Rudy Gobert stopped 2 finale oops. Neither of them would have been finale oops, but you know what action I'm talking about. I've never seen a defender stop that once, let alone twice. And then also, if Jamal Murray is going to be playing this series on one leg, it could be a long or even, hopefully not, a short series for Denver. He just did not look ready to stick with their guys defensively tonight. Hard to blame him with a calf strain, but as we know, if it's a calf strain, that's not going anywhere. So it definitely was worrisome and difficult to watch tonight.
We talked about Murray struggling to score, but I honestly think his defense was the death knell for Denver tonight. Mike Conley got going. All right, take us to Michael Malone. What did he think?
So Michael Malone went straight to the podium tonight from the court. So any media who took their time missed him, especially because it was a short and a terse presser. He was asked a question about short starts for, the 6th game in a row of this playoffs. And I think he kind of bristled at the question, saying, I wasn't worried about the start. I'm more worried about our second half defense. Pointed out how the Wolves shot over 70% from the second half. He just said that's unacceptable in the playoffs. And he said it's 48 minutes. It's going to take 48 minutes. You cannot play a half of basketball in the Western Conference semifinals. Obviously, fellas, Denver got away with this multiple times against the Lakers. It's not going to work against the Wolves. And Michael Malone spoke more specifically about how they scored, who scored and when, saying at halftime Anthony Edwards had 25. It looked like the Anthony Edwards show, but Denver was still winning. They were comfortable with that. It's when everyone else gets involved that they're really dangerous. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, they got going as well. And Naz Reid, of course. And Malone said, look, it will be a quick exit if we let 4 guys get off like that. So he was not in a great mood. It was quick, and he was out of there. And, that's what I got from Malone.
All right, Michael Porter Jr.
Not a lot from Mike. Definitely seemed disappointed. I gave them some credit. He said, those are great players. It's not like we're going to completely shut them out, but we have to do a better job collectively on defense. He felt like in the clutch, Denver got behind, which is rare for them, and then they kind of started trying to get it all back with one shot or one play, which doesn't quite work. Talked about the difficulty of guarding Ant and the balance of, do you want to double a guy who's that hot versus letting other weapons get going? And he said, look, any good team has multiple weapons. One thing that makes us successful is when teams double Joker, you know, we have options. It's similar with them if you double Ant. And then he said of the matchup, he said, look, they're tough. We felt it last year. They didn't have Jaden, they didn't have Nas, and they were still very competitive. They played really hard against us in the regular season as well. They've got a lot of young, hungry guys over there, and they think they can win a championship. We have to do a better job of matching their physicality and their energy from the jump. And then finally, he said, this is a good defensive team. It's going to take a collective scoring effort to beat these guys.
Yeah, I think that's good. Any final thoughts?
Just that it's weird. It's weird to see Denver in this position, you know, not trailing in a series, but losing game one. You know, after having turned the corner they did last year in the postseason, it was, I think there was a bit of shock in the air tonight. It is a long series. It certainly feels less of a long series after you lose game one. A little bit of shock in the air tonight, fellas. And Denver's got their work to do here as they approach game two.
All righty. Go catch Jokic. We'll look for you, obviously, over the weekend.
All right, fellas.
Thanks. Another thing to talk about is Mike Conley, because part of this is obviously I got a weird echo. Part of this is you know, Murray struggling, but the other part of this was we didn't talk about the defensive end. Mike Conley's 14 points, 10 assists, and his run in particular in the third quarter to me was also one of the big reasons Denver lost this game. And Murray's calf strain, look, can he score better? Can he get quicker? We all think so. Make some more shots, this or that, but does he have that and defense? It's like you got to improve on both sides. That's the part I'm a little, as I'm thinking about it, Dev, I'm like, that's the part that's a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Conley was great. Like, he was efficient, knocked down a couple of three-pointers, ran the offense, and you expect that from him. You know what you're going to get. But also, that's where Jamal and just defenders have to be better. You have to go at him on one end of the floor. I feel like he held his own, and he's not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be attacking him the entire time. And also, give him different looks. Like, I really do think that everybody got to go to their bread and butter. No one looked uncomfortable on the Timberwolves besides Cat because he was in foul trouble, but he got what he wanted when he was out there. So it's really about shaking things up, going at people, having some pride. Mike Conley attacked the teeth of the defense because he blew by Jamal every single time. He cannot let that happen. So have pride. Change some things.
I know. Show up, man. Show up. Like, that start from Jamal was just like, you're like, come on, man. Zero points in the first half. Zero. Wild. Against a team that you know is going to be formidable. I mean, I'm not surprised at all at this outcome, like, given the way that it started. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, right. Like, this team can match Denver in a lot of ways. And so if Denver doesn't play their A game, they're going to lose. That's just really all there is to it. So, you know, the question now is, can Denver play their A game? If they play their A game, they will win. That's a very simple statement to make. If Denver doesn't play their A game, they will lose. It really is in some ways that simple. There's obviously a lot of nuance between the lines, but like, Denver just has to play better. They just have to. That's it.
Yeah.
I hate to keep like bringing it back to Jamal Murray and his offense, but
it was bad, man.
Mike Conley's 36 years old, and a big advantage that the Nuggets had coming into this series on paper was that Denver should be able to go at Mike Conley when they're on offense and he's on defense. Jamal Murray attacking him, KCP even attacking him like he attacked D'Angelo Russell. That was on paper a way that the Nuggets could exploit the Timberwolves defense. But if like Jamal Murray doesn't have that in his game, you're letting Mike Conley off the hook, and then that means he's got pretty fresh legs and a lot of energy for a third quarter where he was able to be really effective. So, I mean, Mike Conley's a really good player. He's been great for Minnesota all season. He's a veteran. He's steady. He's a really high IQ player. He can set everybody up. He knows where to get the ball in the Minnesota offense when it matters. He knows when he's got to feed Anthony Edwards. He knows when he's got to attack and lob it up or set up Rudy Gobert in the lane close to the hoop. So, a lot of it does fall on Jamal. You know, offensively, he and the Nuggets have to put pressure on Conley. But yeah, defensively, they got to be better too.
Conley was great, and I do think that that's a pressure point. You know, you got to be able to put a little bit more pressure on him, you know, as the series goes on. And then the Peyton Watson question. So Denver tonight decided to play Justin Holiday 16 minutes, and I understand why. Bate Watson just six, and I understand why. The rotation that Minnesota went with, I think Denver did a good job of anticipating it, that to start the second quarter, they rolled out a lineup that did not have a lot of offensive options.
Yeah.
And I think Denver sensed that we could probably guard them, and correctly so. We could guard them with Justin Holiday. We don't need an extra defender on the court. What we need is extra spacing on the court. So you got Christian Brown. You got Aaron Gordon. All right, we're good. Let's put Justin Holiday there to space the floor a little bit more. But and while that worked, because Justin Holiday was a plus 19. Game high, by the way, for the Denver Nuggets.
The bench was the least of Denver's problems today.
But one of the questions Denver's going to have to figure out very quickly is, when we talk about Anthony Edwards and who guards him, well, Peyton Watson is another guy that might be an option. He might not, but might be one. And you didn't really get a look at that tonight in any kind of meaningful way.
Yeah, I think that it's because of Peyton Watson's offensive limitations. Like, it hampered and forced Malone's hands. He came right into the game and got a quick foul and then an air ball. Yeah. So it was like, okay, like how long is this leash? Especially because we just saw how good the bench looked when he was not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like stuck on him quick, and he was like, okay, let's get him out of there, because Denver had the momentum with the bench.
Yeah.
If you put him in there and they start losing momentum, I think he pulled him a little too early, but that was what, I mean, that was his choice. I do think that Peyton Watson should have got a longer leash. I think that he played well. He grabbed boards, and he had the energy that other players were lacking. I just think that in a playoff game, it's hard to see how long you can ride with that type of decision. I expect to let them see him on Anthony Edwards for at least a little bit more of a stretch. I think he'll get to play a little bit longer.
Quick update from Bennett Durando of the Denver Post. He says, Jamal Murray left the locker room without speaking to reporters tonight. Should hear from him tomorrow. Michael Malone said he didn't practice all week, as Harrison reported. Couldn't make a shot, but said in the context of not being worried about the slow start, he was troubled, however, by the second half defense with regards to Jamal.
I mean, that all of those things ladder up to the same problem of just being having a calf that's bothering him. It just is like, it limits his quickness.
But not talking to reporters?
Well, that is just Jamal. I mean, like, he did that after the last bad game he had. It's whatever. Who cares? But he's mad. You know, like, he's frustrated. You actually like that in a way, that he is not, you know, like, he's not coming out and laughing it up and pretending like nothing was wrong. Like, he knows what's up. He knows the game that he just turned in, and he knows that he's limited and has to, if he can't out quick and out athletic people, he's got to be more clever.
Yeah.
And he's got to play the angles, and he's got to, like, find himself in the right spot and just be outthink the other side, which, if you're playing with Nikola Jokic, like, you can do. So,
by the way, Justin Holiday tonight, 1-3. We can go back to that one. The Peyton Watson question here. Do you see, is this just a series where you think he's just probably on the outs?
I mean, it makes sense that he could play more to throw another look at Anthony Edwards, but, like, that first half was going on, and even at times in the second half, and you're like, I don't know if there's a huge glaring need for another defender out there. I mean, the Nuggets gave up 106 points tonight. It's not that many. Denver scored only 99. I think the offense was more of the problem for Denver than the defense. I mean, I know Michael Malone hit on, what do you say, three or four guys going off. It's going to be a short series, but it was honestly just Anthony Edwards in my mind. I feel like Denver did okay on the other guys. Naz Reid hit a couple tough shots. You know, McDaniels didn't hurt them. Conley didn't do anything in the first half, had a good second half. I thought Denver's defense overall was okay, actually. Just Anthony Edwards cooked them. Having Justin Holiday out there, if he's going to make shots, makes a lot of sense to bolster the bench scoring, to be honest.
Yeah. I wonder where Pewat fits into this, but I do agree that I just think this is going to be a series where you got to find somebody to guard Anthony Edwards at some point. Silver linings from this one? Reggie Jackson had a good game.
I mean, Reggie Jackson changed the whole momentum of this game.
Yeah.
That play where he picked up Nickeil Alexander-Walker in full court and forced the steal. He hit a big three after that. Like I said, the bench was not the Nuggets' issue today. It was the starters. You know, Jamal Murray minus 22, Jokic minus 12, Aaron Gordon minus 23. You know, the second unit did their part.
Yeah. Other silver linings, Dev?
I mean, it's what Harrison just touched on. It's the, you're going to take that type of bench performance 10 out of 10 times, because you know that the starters are going to start playing better, or they're going to respond in better ways. The bench is where they have been. They've struggled the most this year. So if you get a good game from the bench, you have to capitalize. You have to, like, take that momentum and turn it into a win, because you don't know how many times you're going to get that type of, you know, play. But if you get that early on, that's something to go to. That's something that Minnesota is going to have to adjust to. That, like, you know, let you know who you can play a bit more, who you can trust. And these are the moments that you need, is that type of trust.
Yeah. Silver lining for me, that, you know, Jamal Murray had a terrible game, but he did show up in the second half. Like,
do you think it all comes down to him?
I really do. I mean, I really do. Like, because the Nuggets, as constructed, are Jokic and Murray, and then the ancillary pieces. Sometimes it's an AG game. Sometimes it's an MPJ game. Sometimes it's a KCP game. Everybody can have good games, but if those two are faltering at against top-level competition, then the Nuggets are cooked. That's who they are. And Jamal Murray was so bad, but he responded. I just don't see a world where this is the best the Nuggets have. Like, yeah, I mean, do you see that this is the best effort that, like, I don't see that the Wolves, this probably wasn't the Wolves' best effort either, but this was a very good effort from the Minnesota Timberwolves, from a lot of different players. Like, this is more than you would expect to routinely get out of Mike Conley. He's very steady, but I would say he was above average tonight, just with how efficient he was. Naz Reid hit some shots. You're like, okay. He's the sixth man of the year. He's a great player. But, I mean, I just see a lot of things where I'm like, I think that's better than you normally are.
But I think they're 5-for-5 at that level. And part of it is Phoenix never made life difficult for them.
No.
And this is my point, is Denver now cannot make life difficult for Minnesota until game three. Sure. Because you win game two, you still, if you're Minnesota, you walk and you go, that's what we needed. We needed the split. Nobody expects to get two. You want to, but nobody expects it. You have to go in there and then even the score. You have to win one out there. So I think that they are in a comfort zone that you shouldn't just, and I don't think Denver does, shouldn't just expect them to be below that. I think they will play at this level in game two.
I mean, Denver
has to be a better.
Game two, you have to treat it as a must win. You have to play with the same sense of urgency in game two that you played with in the playoffs last year. And we just haven't seen that sense of urgency from the Nuggets that often in the playoffs. And that honestly has been, like, the most disappointing aspect of, you know, the start of the playoffs for me. Maybe they just don't have that this year. I don't know. We'll probably find out the answer to that in game two, because they have to play with that urgency. But they just haven't had that extra gear that I thought they had.
Yeah, I expect it in game two. Game two is going to be very revealing. I will say this. I don't know if we're going to know if Denver will win the series in game two, but I think we'll know if they're going to lose it.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, people who make a proclamation after the first game of a series, like, you got to watch more sports,
man. Do you feel like the panel's doing that, or are you seeing chats?
Chats. I'm responding to the people that are talking here, but, like, just, like, you got to watch more sports, man. You got to live a little, brother. You're 13 years old. That's really the only thing that I can key in on. The Nuggets have been down 3-1 two separate times in the darkest moments, where we thought that they were absolutely dead. They had nothing to give a Rudy Gobert-led squad. And miraculously, their incredible players stepped up and revealed to you how incredible they are. The Nuggets did not have a great game tonight. Teams have bad games, but I know what's in the soul of this Denver Nuggets squad.
Right.
And this one performance in the first game of the second series does not cancel out everything I've seen for the last 5 years. Like, I know what the Nuggets have. They're not a neophyte, like, Frankenstein Suns team where you just try to construct it like a fantasy basketball squad. They don't know what to do. The Denver Nuggets are built from iron and brawn and grit, and they know what the fuck they have. Like, if you're jumping off so early, then you should remove the celebration that you had last season from them winning, because you cannot jump off this quickly. You just can't.
Man, I'm fired up now.
I mean, fuck sure. it, man. It's
Can
so
we
annoying.
Hire you to give the pregame
it's
speech
so
in game
annoying.
Two?
Like, it's so embarrassing.
Whatever pregame speech they've been giving us.
I know, but, like, I just want these Wolves fans to... You guys need to go through something. You haven't been through something yet. I appreciate your excitement, but, like, you got to learn. And maybe they're better, but, bro... You're going to look bad if you come with this energy.
They just won't be here. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, let's get to some Super Chats. Do we have any?
Guys, check out Manscaped. Love Manscaped being on board with us again. You can go to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code NUGGETS20. 20% off plus free shipping, manscaped.com. Manscaped, great product. What are you going to say?
They have that Lawnmower 4.0. It's the most revolutionary one. There's never been one better, has there, Harrison?
It's the 5.0, Adam.
I was setting you up.
There's a 5.0?
We're up to the 5.0, the Lawnmower 5.0.
I know, dude. You got to go there, dude. Right, well.
Did I not hit the alley-oop there?
Did finale it.
I thought I caught it. I guess not. Lawnmower 5.0, great product. Great product. I always talk about the packaging of Manscaped. The presentation on Manscaped is great. High quality product. It built well. Doesn't break down on you. Great value for what you're getting. Lawnmower 5.0. They have tons of other products as well. The Weed Whacker 2.0.
Hell yeah, dude.
Ear and nose hair trimmer. Tons of other stuff that you can get from Manscaped. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code NUGGETS20 at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping with the code NUGGETS20 at manscaped.com. Make sure to check that out today. Also, shout out to our friends over at Illegal Pete's. This episode brought to you by Illegal Pete's. They got a location in Colorado Springs now.
Bro, I'm looking
They're all the way down in the spring.
I'm in the market for some buddies and some beer. Where should I go for
you
that?
You can go to Illegal Pete's, man. You can also get burritos there. Your home for burritos, buddies, and beer. They got a location open in the Springs now as well. Swing by, join the festivities, live music, endless margaritas, and of course your favorite burrito fixings. Located in the heart of downtown Colorado Springs. Stop by to be a part of this historical Illegal Pete's moment. Illegal Pete's, your spot for burritos, buddies, and beer.
Alrighty, back here, final segment. I like the speech. I will say this. Great game. Really good game.
It was a good game, man.
The best thing about the playoffs, and we almost were in some ways robbed of this. Basketball was great last year, but Denver wasn't tested. The best thing about that bubble run for the Nuggets was it felt like it brought the best out of them.
Exactly.
And that's what a playoff series does. I tip my hat to the Wolves. We've talked a lot about this. Remember when people used to rag on us about Tim Connelly?
Of course.
One of the things about Tim Connelly that I really believe is that he's a great culture cultivator. You know, that's a big part of it. When I watch this Wolves team, the talent is there. But there's lots of teams that have talent. They have a maturity. They've grown up through it. They go through the process. They have this, connectedness and toughness and resiliency to them that I look at, and it looks familiar. You kind of look at it and go,
yep,
okay. And what's nice is Denver now is in a position where they get to channel that. And I'm excited to see it because this game was too good.
That's what I'm saying, man.
To only give us four of these. I think you want to see what Denver has to reply with. And then you want to put the onus on the Wolves to say, okay, the best series of all time are the ones where teams have to keep going, do I have more? All right, let me go. You dig deep and you win. And then the other team digs deep. And then you have to go back and be like, all right, let's see if we have anything left in our tank. And I hope that happens with this one because what we saw tonight was a very good game one. All right. Super chats.
Super chats.
I can do it if you want.
This comes from Astray.
Can you make it bigger?
Joke all you want about overreaction, but it's been six straight games with atrocious starts. If we go 7, forget winning. We'll just be heading towards a sweep, rebounding game 2, or we're cooked.
They have to have a good start in game 1. And honestly,
what's going on, man?
Or game 2.
What's the deal?
I mean, again, in my theory is that so much of the early part of your game is trying to settle into your core actions, which is the Murray Jokic two-man game, and that's not very good right now. So it's
the start was Murray missed a shot, Jokic missed a shot, Murray missed a shot. There was a turnover. It was Murray and Jokic that just absolutely were not ready in the slightest to come out with any sort of efficiency, any kind of pressure. They fumbled it hard. Those two were not ready to go. They weren't.
The weird part was they were getting easy shots.
Yeah, they were just
missing.
They
just missed.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they just were they weren't locked in.
Yeah. 5-5-5-5-5-ish. Are the Nuggets becoming too predictable? It seems like Jokic never takes his first shot until 6 minutes pass, and Murray takes almost every shot.
Again, I think that part of that is, it's less predictable when you're beating guys and then they're having to rotate and make. But right now, Murray's not doesn't have any shake in that pick and roll. Like, they're not getting any separation there, so it falls into predictability.
I mean, there is the predictable part of it. It does seem like they're just trying to go through Jamal early. Yeah. It doesn't feel like Yoke even looks at the rim for the first part of the game. So, I mean, that's a...
Yoke's got to be... Yoke's got to, like, take the... Game two is really falls to me more on Yoke than anybody.
Right.
Unfairly so. But it's just like, you can't say, oh, well, we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. Like, you got to set a tone early. Put him on the pressure.
Steven Kennicott, he's in a rough place right now. We're cooked. This is going to be a short series.
Oh, it's so over.
It's so over.
It's so over.
He's in a rough spot.
Yeah.
I know. Like, why even come out? Like, it's so over.
There's Crystal no Ghost. Oh, Murray won't be scoreless in the first half again. Hugest wine. What?
he's right next to us.
Hugest.
Yeah, hold on.
Elliot Press right here. Decipher this for us here.
Okay. It's my bad. I have a lot of Rocky tonight. Let me just read my notes because I have notes.
Do a fast recap for us.
I just want to shout out Dev and D-Line for wearing the exact same shoes almost. Just to Nuggets Nation, this is a moment in time. It's uncomfortable to be down in a series for the first time in years, but this is a splash of water in the face to wake up a team. For instance, the Nuggets have come back from down 3-1 to Gobert and Conley before...
Murray talked
about hating extended time off and won't be scoreless in the first half again.
Yoke too. Also said he hates
exactly.
It.
Nuggets won't be down 18-4 again. 14-point lead and a 7-point win. Jokic won't shoot 44% again. Naz Reid won't go for 16 on 64% shooting again. Ant won't shoot 59% again. Nuggets win game 2 and 3. Lose game 4 and win game 5 and 6. Nuggets and 6.
Let's go.
Hey.
Man, hold he really on. Got, Wait, he really got his money's worth.
That was a monologue for the ages, man.
It's incredible, dude. It's
maybe like, that could be their pregame speech.
I didn't even know I was going to talk. Let me read my notes.
That was a super speech.
Yeah, for sure.
Incredible. Way to go.
Cedric Exquisite. Everyone had it tough. D-line, sick, feel better. Dev late and no 41 for Jokic. Vote, I hope he was okay at Ball Arena. Whoa, be back. Wind, you're my new fave at DMVR.
Oh,
man.
Oh, yes.
Look at that.
Hey, hold that torch, man. Hold that torch.
Hold that.
Hopefully I can hold it for a day.
You won't.
Based Jiren, as a hardcore Nuggets fan since 2022, I say we should trade Jokic to Minnesota for a real player.
See,
like
finally, there it is. There finally. It is. He knows. Man, he knows.
Finally, a good comment.
Luka Garza has zero turnovers tonight compared to Jokic.
Cedric
seven.
Chimes in again. Only game one. Let's reset and beat Minnesota by now.
I bet
by now.
He says by now, but I bet he comes back.
Red Walrus. Vote's tweet from a couple months ago was spot on. That arrogance has infected the whole team. They haven't tasted their own blood in too long.
They taste it now.
Yep. Tastes like champions.
Steven, still in a rough spot. Y'all, I'm back to Doug Light.
Oh, no, man. I'll talk to
Steven's going Steven, through it tonight.
Steven, just come to the bar,
this
man.
This team has been bad the entire playoffs, and it's clear the injury and fatigue is going to end us soon.
Steven, let it out, man.
Hey,
let
every
it out.
Step he you go you bad. Go past this, you got to get meaner, man.
CJ Jones, meaner. The soul of this team has come back from 2-3-1 deficits. We aren't familiar with this, but just remember... This team is full of killers. Nuggets will bounce back.
Of course they will. That's why he's my best friend, CJ Jones.
Big name K. 6 incomplete games from Jokic. That's worrisome. We have not had a signature Jokic game, I feel like.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Peter Duck. My concern is Jokic's 3-point shot. He still hasn't had them fall like last year. Hasn't he shot it pretty well from three?
He just took a lot today, and so it feels like he's not making any.
Rhodey. Denver in 7. It is go Nuggets.
Denver in 7 it is. That's right.
From JoeZim425. This reminds me so much of the Jazz series in the bubble. Switch Spida for Ant. Neither team will be out of it until the final
shot. I think you're right, man. I really think we're in for one.
I hope so.
JVW, I know folks will want to freak out over this, but the Wolves played their asses off in order to beat us by 7. Harrison, it's going to be okay, my friend. You guys rock. Thanks for the post-game therapy.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Look, I'm just JV.
Telling you how the game went.
Pragmatic wind.
It's just Jordan, 420-69.
I think they need to get MPJ shooting 20-plus times a game, with Murray becoming more of a playmaker. More minutes for Holiday, too.
The thing about Murray the playmaker is you have to be cooking guys to complement the defense. Otherwise, there's not. I mean, he even had a hard time entering the ball to Jokic today several times because of the pressure Nikhil Alexander-Walker put on him. In fact, I'd be curious, just off the top of your head, who guarded Murray more tonight, do you think, on a minute basis?
Edwards?
No. Jamal Murray?
Yeah. Edwards started on him.
Yeah, that's true.
It felt like he was on him for a long time.
So you think he had more matchups than even Nikhil Alexander-Walker? It'd be interesting. I don't know.
Walker was on him for a long time, too, yeah.
But this is also what we were talking about with Anthony Edwards, right? You give Murray multiple equations to solve. You got to do the same with Ant, I think, in game two.
Yeah. Maddox, Conley shooting 56% from three last 16 games versus Denver.
I mean, he has
nice
a mark.
Nice stat. Interesting. Kyle Nolan, not concerned because of how many Ant and MJ comparisons I've seen in the last 2 hours. Great Ant game, but the basketball gods won't reward these takes.
Hey, man, he played like it tonight, though.
Great result for the content machine.
I have nothing bad to say about Anthony Edwards tonight.
And it ain't only been 2 hours, man. They've been doing that for a while now.
Christian Barber, cancel out Edwards' offense defensively with Brown. Brown is seriously confident after this game. Offensive sparks happen by great defense. I want him to headhunt Eddie.
Eddie? Who's Ed? Oh, Edwards.
Edwards?
Headhunt Edwards.
Christian Brown did have an encouraging game, I think.
He did? No.
He hit a three? Christian Brown hit a three tonight?
He's going to have to keep doing that, though.
But let's just call out the guy that wanted to call out Christian Brown in the Super Chat, also named Christian.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
perhaps a little bias, a little Christian bias.
Eva Hathaway, I don't blame the Nugs, but they look run down. It seems tough to have the requisite energy after last year's run, especially relying on five guys.
So much quit in this chat. There's so much quit in this chat.
I would say, hey, but I don't know if she's quitting. What's she saying?
I think she's pointing out something tough. That's been a storyline.
I was
going
to say, it's a fair storyline. She does see it seems tough to have the requisite energy. I would agree with that. The Nuggets do look tired, but guess what that means? They have to dig deep.
They got to get gritty, baby.
They got to dig deep.
James but K, thanks, guys. Nice conversation tonight. We'll come back. Yeah, thanks,
there you
James.
Go.
Thanks,
that's
James.
What I want to hear.
Matt Walker, love the glass half full tonight. Get two straight. Stay on parade.
There you go.
Scott Wood for Wolves in five, in my opinion.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the $2.
$2?
Thanks for the $2.
And finally from Jason Kapp, where Rocky III and Wolves Mr. T got too used to the good life. This loss brings us back to our roots. We'll find ourselves and come back stronger.
Man, that was a $5 super chat worth $10.
Let's punch some meat.
Loved it.
And Crystal Ghost again.
Uh-oh.
Super chatting from just off screen. Do you want to say this one into the mic too? Guess what? Nuggets in six.
There you go, baby. There you go.
There's one more?
Yeah.
Ace Saul? Before this pod, I was Skies Falling, but we knew it'd be a dogfight after it's... It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Still a lot to play for. Winning game two. We're back.
You know what?
Nuggets in a hard six.
There you go.
I don't think there's anything to play for anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we successfully got everybody now knowing, hey, this is what you signed up for. This is what sports are. The Nuggets went 16-4 last year. That was rare. That was special. Going to be different this year.
Still possible, by the way.
Technically is still possible. So, you know what? I'm very curious to see Yoke down 0-1. I'm very curious to see it because we haven't seen that guy have to come out, and I'm curious to see what happened. Jamal Murray, pissed off, goes home, sleep on it. Rub some Icy Hot on that calf. Ooh.
Get some maple syrup on it.
Get some maple syrup, baby. Get back out there. Get back on
get
that
horse.
Get
some Tim Hortons.
Yeah, dude.
Get some maple syrup.
Get some Timbits in your life.
Yep, there you go.
Fly some in.
Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us for the entire show. We're off tomorrow, obviously, Sunday, but we are back. On Monday, for
everybody, shake it off.
You all silly like the mayor.